It's a great joy to look at God's Word together on this day. And today I want to share with you from this passage that struck me as I read it, how apt, how appropriate it is for Christmas Day. To give just an example, when our Lord was born in Bethlehem, wise men traveled from long distances to give him gifts. Peter is writing to Christians who have been scattered long distances, far away, all over the place, particularly in Turkey, Asia Minor, and the Middle East. He's writing to them, telling them of the wonderful gift God has given us. And then it speaks of the gift, the inheritance that we have. Thinking of the wise men again, bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we are told that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. Far better than even gold or frankincense or myrrh. And so on. And there are little parallels like that. And this passage then goes on to speak about the things the angels want to look into, to understand this wonderful gospel, this great good news. And of course, at Bethlehem, we heard that the angels declared the message of the coming of Christ into the world. Well, those are some of the parallels that reminded me how apt this was. But I want to speak to you this morning about the best present of all. That's my topic, that's my theme for this morning. We've seen the children's presents, wonderful, every one of them. And perhaps adults will have presents before the end of the day. But this, my friend, is the best present of all. Now, what is it? Let me split this into three headings. First of all, a Christmas Day birthday. My father-in-law, Elizabeth's father, his birthday fell on Christmas Day. Imagine that. I always felt sorry for him because he had fewer presents, or he had less opportunity, less occasions. It was all bundled together on Christmas Day. Perhaps he'd have an extra pair of socks or something like that. A Christmas Day birthday. Would you like to have a birthday on Christmas, your birthday on Christmas Day? Vernon Higham, whose hymns we sing here regularly, was born on Christmas Day. His birthday was Christmas Day. And some of you will have heard of a very famous preacher called Christmas Evans. Now, he was born on he was born on Christmas Day. Of course, Christmas Evans. Poor chap, you're going around with a name like that, Christmas Evans. A great preacher, a one-eyed preacher. He went to a fair in Hereford, born in Llandysul in South Wales. He went to a fair in Hereford, got into a fight and lost an eye in the fight, but was later converted to become a Christian and a preacher at that. Now, birthdays on Christmas Day, do you know you too can have a birthday on Christmas Day? You can have a second birthday on Christmas Day. If you're not yet a Christian, you can have a birthday, a spiritual birthday, on this very day. And I hope I'm going to show you how this morning. Peter, writing to the scattered Christians in the Middle East, is saying, "Oh, praise God," he said, and these are his words, "Praise God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." To be born again. Perhaps we've got used to that expression, but that's what it means to be a Christian. You are born anew. You have a spiritual birth. Just as we've read Earlier in this passage, we've read about the Holy Spirit coming, overshadowing Mary, and the child in her womb is born of God and of woman or mankind. So he's both man and God. A wonderful miracle takes place at the birth of Jesus Christ. And in the same kind of way, when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit overshadows us and enters our hearts and cleanses our hearts. And we are born again to be interested in the things of God, to love God, to believe in God, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to want to serve Him and follow Him and accept Him as our Savior. Born again of the Spirit of God. Naturally, we're not like that at all. Naturally, we're rebellious towards God. Naturally, we're not interested in the things of God. Naturally, we're selfish, we're self-centered, no interest in religious things and in God. But when we are born again of the Spirit of God, a change takes place. It may even be a mystery to us. And I want to tell you about a man called Steve Bunn, who went to America and traveled around America. He wasn't a Christian. And as he went on the Greyhound bus, he saw a leaflet on the chair. And he picked it up and he stuffed it into his kit bag and he thought, I'll read that again. He didn't bother to read it. And he took jobs here and there, and he traveled America. And then one day he's finishing, pulling out all the stuff from his kit bag, and the leaflet falls out, and he starts to read. And it's about being born again. It's about becoming a Christian. And he realizes that this was meant for him. And then other things happen. He's almost killed in a car accident. And he realizes he's not ready to die. And this is why I'm referring to Steve Bunn. It's this, because he, on Christmas Day, he decided he would go to church. Something had been happening in his life, and on his own he'd committed his life to Christ. But we read this, after a couple of months, Steve did seek out a church. His previous impressions of such places provoked feelings of alienation. He didn't like going to church. But he thought he'd go to find out what was happening in his heart. It was Christmas time when he ventured down to the village church, where 30 or 40 people had gathered for the service. The pastor was overjoyed when he heard what had happened in Steve's life. He listened to the carols. He knew the tunes, but not the words. And it was strange understanding them for the first time as a believer. Steve had a fabulous Christmas with God. A Christmas Day birthday. Now, what is the result of being born again? Or being born again on Christmas Day? Well, we now have, says Peter, born again to a living hope. This year, 2014, we have been commemorating the 1914 Christmas truce of the First World War. My father, I've spoken of my father-in-law, I better even it up. My own father was born in 1914. When he used to refer to his birth, people would say, When were you born? He'd say, well, I was born 1914, the year the war started. And then, as fathers do, made a feeble joke. I didn't start it, mind. Well, fathers make feeble jokes worse than crackers. 1914. But that year, on Christmas Day, on the battlefields in France and Belgium and so on, there was a strange truce, because people stopped shooting at each other and came out of the trenches and exchanged gifts and kicked a football about. And for a few hours, there was peace and silence and friendship and And you think, why? Why on Christmas Day? What prompted men spontaneously to stop shooting and killing and maiming and injuring other people? Did they think, well, it's Christmas Day today? At home, I'd be singing carols. At home, we'd be around the fire, exchanging gifts. I shouldn't be shooting at people today. Was there something special going on in somebody's mind and it kind of spread? And then a few hours later, after chatting and smoking and kicking a football, they went back to the trenches and started killing one another again. Now, that is an amazing picture. It's an amazing lesson to us of what Christmas Day really means. That here is mankind at war with God. Here is mankind who said, I'm against God. I don't want God to rule my life. Mankind in disobedience and hatred. And Christmas brings the message not just of a truce, but a permanent peace for the man and woman who lays down his arms and gets up to accept what is offered by God. Listen to this then, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God sent his Son to no man's land to be crucified outside the city wall, that we might believe in him and have not just a few hours of peace, but a real peace forever and ever. Real forgiveness and mercy and grace. To hear about a God who loves us, whatever we are and whatever we have done. A God who wants us to be with him in glory, to enjoy the inheritance, to enjoy the best present of all. The Living Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, so now we have been made right in God's sight by faith in his promises, and we can have a real peace with him. Dr. Kenneth Taylor translates it like that. We can have real peace with him because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Not just a truce. When you're hearing or seeing about that wonderful truce, think of it, what it means for a Christian, for a sinner, a rebellious, God-hating sinner, to have peace with God. So we're born again. We're born again to a living hope. We can look forward to something then. What is that something we can look forward to? Well, here it is. It's a fantastic present or inheritance. All of this year's presents will either perish, spoil, or fade. I can guarantee you. Some will break before the day is through. If you've had clothes, they will be lost, they will fade, they will go out of fashion, they won't fit, there'll be something, sooner or later, they'll be in the back of the cupboard, or you'll be looking for a charity shop to give them to. If you've got electrical goods, they'll end up at Potter's someday. I'm sorry, am I spoiling things for you? They will perish, spoil, or fade eventually. And even if you've been given gold or diamonds today, I'm sure you won't admit to that, but if you've been given gold or diamonds, they could be lost or stolen, or you'll want to put them in the bank so that they're carefully preserved, or you'll be afraid somebody will take them, or what have you done with them? Can you remember what you were given last year or the year before? And trust me, you'll probably forget most of what you're given this year, or that you give. But if you are born again on Christmas Day, you'll remember this forever and ever and ever. It will never perish, spoil, or fade. Why? because it's reserved in heaven for you, says Peter. It's imperishable, it's undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You don't have to take this to the bank or think, where have I put it? This eternal life. It's stored safe for you, the place where God wants you to be, enjoying his presence in great glory. It's kept in heaven. I've probably told you before, so I won't go into it again, but very briefly, I booked something on the internet, an event abroad, and I thought, I've surely been scammed. This surely won't happen. When I go there, there won't be a ticket for me, and I'll have spent my money in vain. And I went, and amazingly, in a distant country, the person said, yes, here's your name and here's your ticket. Incredible. Wonderful experience. It's stored in your name, this inheritance. In heaven, it's kept for you. And more than that, you say, well, what if I fall away? What if I fail in some way or sin in some awful way? Could I lose my salvation? Well, we are also guarded. We are kept. More precious than gold that perishes. It says here, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. You are guarded. When you become a Christian, you will be kept for what is being kept for you. You'll get there. You'll have trials on the way. Peter's talking about trials and sufferings and issues in life, doubts, difficulties, but you'll be guarded. It's the same word that Paul used when he said that the city of Damascus was guarded by the authorities, but he escaped through over the wall in a basket. But it was being guarded. That was guarded by men, so Paul was able to find a way through and to escape. But you and I are guarded by God's Spirit for glory. Do you want this present? Do you want the best present of all? Do you want the present that the angels want to unwrap? It says they are the things which angels long to look into. They want to tear off the wrappings of the gospel and understand it. How amazing it is that God should send his Son into the world to save sinners, not angels, rebels, those who have been against God. Do you want this? Do you want what angels want to see and understand? Do you want to have a birthday on Christmas Day? I hope there may be somebody, won't just be a natural birthday, maybe somebody here who was born on Christmas Day, I don't know. But you, if you're not yet a Christian, can have your birthday on this day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might rejoice if we've been born again. Rejoice in the inheritance that awaits us, better than gold or silver. We thank you that we can come to glory to be with the Lord Jesus, who loves us with an everlasting love. What more could we ask for? Heavenly Father, be with us now and help anyone who is not yet a believer to find that this very day becomes a birthday, a second birthday. In Jesus' name, amen.